One thing I did forget to mention in the announcements was last week we had started a series on the Holy Spirit, and we will be picking that up next week. And so I do want to encourage you, if you're visiting or if you're even with us, you don't want to miss that series. We're trying to figure out some things that God has for us that you can only get from the Holy Ghost. So we'll pick that back up again next week. But thankfully this week you get a break from me. And I know some of you are thinking, amen, we've needed it, Pastor Mike. Wow, we're hearing too much of you. But anyways, I'm thrilled for what God is doing in John and Julie's life. I'm thrilled for where they're headed. You know, they were supernaturally brought together. And God has a purpose and a plan. And I'll tell you what, I'm not just saying that to get you excited, to just, you know, blow smoke at you. I'm thrilled to be a part of it. I'm thrilled to, you know, be some little part of what God's going to do. And same with you guys. We're all a part of this. So I hope you come ready. Hope you come hungry and ready to receive, because the word's going to go forth. Amen. And so praise God. This time I'm going to ask Mr. Gray to come on up here and deliver the word for us. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Praise God. Thank you. Thank you. Break from Pastor Mike. Oh, my goodness. I would rather have Pastor Mike preaching tonight. I'm missing him. So good to see everybody tonight. So awesome. God is so good, isn't he? Praise God. Before we get started, let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for this service. Father, we know that it's not about the minister. It's not about who's ministering. It's about the Holy Ghost. Father, so I just give this service to you. I give you my mouth to give me the words to speak that can hit the mark, that hit the bullseye in people's hearts. Father God, not of enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration and power in the Spirit. Father God, we just thank you, Father, for what you're going to do in this service tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. 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 If you can all turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 33, verse 6. Isaiah 33. Verse 6, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. Wisdom and knowledge is the stability of the times. This message is called Choose to Live a Stable Life, or Choose to Live in Stability. Praise God. I mean, we all want to live a stable life. Right? We all want to live a faith-filled life. But what does this look like? You know, first of all, let's get a definition of stability. You know, this helps me when I look up. I mean, we've heard the word stable and stability, but it helps me so much when I look up the definition to get me stirred, to get some words flowing. So hopefully that'll help you as well. So, stability, the strength to stand or endure. Firmness in position, resistance to change, especially sudden change, steadfastness, constancy as of character or purpose. I love the strength to stand and endure. Who doesn't want to do that? But let's look at, I'm just going to take it slow and just paint a good picture of what stability looks like. You know, I went on vacation. I've been on vacation since, but this vacation in particular was many, many years ago. And if I went to Mexico, I don't know if anyone's been to Mexico before, but they have those villas that you stay in. I think they're called villas. Those huge cement walls, they're pale in color. I stayed on a resort in an all-inclusive place. And one morning I woke up and I heard a howling wind. And I'm like, I mean, nothing was shaking, nothing crazy, but I just, you know, hey, what's up with this? I look out the window, and I saw a lot of debris going through the air. I saw a palm tree. Seriously, I saw a palm tree lift and fly by my window, and I'm thinking, wow. You know, this was well before I knew Jesus. I was scared. I was nervous. I thought this was Hurricane, whatever the name may be, Hurricane Johnny. I don't know. So, praise God. But you know what? Nothing happened to the villa. Nothing happened to where I was staying. It was just, that was it. I went back to bed. I couldn't do anything else for hours. So finally, I had left the villa and walked around and saw all the debris. I saw many, many of those, like, those huts, you know, all wrecked. You know, there's roofs that were blown off certain of the buildings. There was palm trees in the swimming pool. So I'm thinking, this had to be a hurricane, right? So then word has it, no. This was just a tropical storm. You know, and they had us go to the building, the main building, because they said that the worst stuff is coming. Thinking, you know, wow, okay. But anyhow, I get back to where I'm staying in my little villa. Still strong. You know, that storm didn't move that at all. Stability. Stability looks like the sequoia, did I say that right? Sequoia redwood trees. Have you ever heard of these? I've never been to California. I've heard about them before, and I read about them. And I just want to read a little about this, because this is just amazing. The redwood trees in California, the one tree is called the General Sherman tree. It's 275 feet tall, 25 feet in diameter, 2,500 years old. So I'm thinking, this has got to be a deep root system, right? I mean, something that tall. The root system only goes 6 to 12 feet deep, and they can withstand earthquakes and all storms. The root system doesn't go deep, but their stability comes from the roots being intertwined with other redwood trees. I thought this was so interesting. They literally hold each other up. Only redwoods have the strength to hold other redwoods up. And this is the best part. The roots are like an army of men who have their arms interlocked. I just love this. I'm like, you really? I'm reading this in Google. I'm like, this is so awesome. Their arms interlocked, standing and supporting each other. And then it says, preventing their adversaries of life from keeping them, adversaries of life from knocking them down. That is stability. We need to know what stability is before we can live a stable life, right? We need to know what strength is, what endurance is. I'm not done with stability. This is good. I just want to be so clear on what a stable life can be. So we're just going to build this and show you step by step, okay? Stability is not led by changing emotions, right? It is not led by the weather, up one day, down one day. The storms of life, circumstances don't move those that live a stable life. The weather doesn't move, right? We don't change our attitude depending on the weather. Oh boy, would we be sour around here, wouldn't we? Right? I mean, praise God. Stability doesn't go for the get-rich-quick schemes. You know what I'm talking about? I think I did a pyramid back in the day. Have you ever heard of those pyramid schemes? I didn't. I just lost money, by the way. So stability, I don't need to do that, right? Stability doesn't look for another church that's more comfortable or convenient. Right? We get our toes stepped on, and praise God, I look for that opportunity because we can grow from that. Yeah. A stable life, a stable person does not move when things change like that, right? It doesn't throw up the Hail Mary. You know what the Hail Mary is. We talk about football a lot around here. But seconds left, no, there's no seconds left in your life that you got to throw up a desperation. No, that's not what stability looks like. It doesn't look for a miracle cure. But stability, or people that are built on a stability, they stay faithful to the miracle maker. Praise God. So let's choose to live a stable life. I'm going to read the scripture once again. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of the times and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. You know, I looked the scripture up in the NIV translation, and it says the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. Well, what treasure are we talking about? The treasure of the wisdom and knowledge is the stability. The wisdom and knowledge and the stability, because it is the stability. That is the treasure. And the key is, excuse me, what does the key do? We all have keys. We open doors. We start our car. It activates things. It's a crucial point. It's a crucial of importance to things, right? So without the fear of the Lord, you can't get going. It's the starting point. right? Without the fear of the Lord. We have to reverence or fear the Lord. If you could turn your Bibles to Proverbs 1:7. Actually, I'm going to turn into Amplified. If you don't have an Amplified, hopefully we can get it up on the screen. Proverbs 1:7. I got to pull it up on my phone here. Proverbs 1:7. The reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge, its starting point and its essence. But fools despise skillful and godly wisdom, instruction, and discipline. The reverent and worshipful fear, isn't that what we just talked about? The key is the starting point. You start it up, right? So when you have that awe, that reverential fear, it's the beginning of knowledge. Go ahead and turn. I'm going to stay in the Amplified. Turn to Psalm 111. Psalm 111, verse 10. Again in the Amplified. The reverent fear and worship of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. We see it's the beginning of knowledge, and now we see it's the beginning of wisdom and skill, the preceding and the first essential, the prerequisite, and the alphabet. A good understanding, wisdom, and meaning have all those who do the will of the Lord. The praise of him endures forever. Praise the Lord. The reverent fear of the Lord is the beginning. So if we want to lead a stable life, if we want stability in our life, we need to fear the Lord. We need to have reverence, right? Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2. Praise the Lord. Philippians chapter 2. Again, I'm staying in the Amplified for this verse. I guess I should turn my Bible as well. Praise God. I just want to keep it slow and show you how clearly and how important it is to understand and what it looks like, right? To fear the Lord so we can live in this and stand in this. I thought I could, like, multitask and talk and turn. I thought I had it. All right. Well, I was going to turn on my phone. Excuse me while I turn the pages in my phone to Philippians 2 and the Amplified. You guys are waiting for me. Appreciate that. Did I tell you what scripture? 12. All right. See, that's why I didn't tell you, so I could get there first. Philippians 2:12 in the Amplified. Therefore, my dear ones, as you have always obeyed my suggestions, now not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more because I am absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation. This is the part that I want to get to. Well, first of all, the salvation. We know that when we receive Jesus, we're saved. But this word salvation, we have to complete a full salvation, which is preservation, which is healing, which is deliverance. So we work out our own salvation, okay? With reverence. Again, there's that word. Same as fear the Lord, to reverence the Lord. We might as well just throw this definition in right here. Reverence is a deep respect for someone or something, an inner drive to please. An inner drive to please. Okay, so back to the scripture. We want to work out our own salvation with this inner drive, with this honor and awe and trembling, self-distrust, with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Praise God. I just love where it says distrust. The responsibility is on me to work out my salvation, right? I'm going to reverence the Lord. I don't want to know what I think. I have to distrust myself. We need to look at what he has for us, right? So let's read that again. Self-distrust with serious caution. Tenderness of conscience. Watchfulness against temptation. The Bible says that we're to examine ourselves lest we fall. We need to continually not trust what we're hearing, what we're thinking, well, unless we're hearing the word of God, but those thoughts that come at us. Right? and anything that might offend God. I don't know about you, but when you have that inner drive to just please God, that you say something wrong and it's just like, ooh, you know, it's just, you just don't want to discredit the name of Christ. You know, praise the Lord. So most people have a reverence, right? They have honor. You know, what I think about is a job. Most people reverence their job. They put it first in their lives. You know, think about how people change their schedules for appointments. People, they're not late. They work extra. They buy work clothes. They prepare. They do everything they can to prepare to be, not all people. I do have 30 people working under me. But most people, when they're working right and they really have that inner drive to do well, you have a reverence for the job. You have a reverence to please the employer or the boss, right? So you prepare, you do what you need to do to fulfill the job requirements. And you come with that right attitude, right? You come dressed right with the attitude is everything for me. I mean, if anyone's been a boss or anybody's worked with anybody anywhere in this world, you know you've worked with people. And you know what? People that have that attitude and come right on time with that attitude, they get farther. They get farther. You know, how much more? How much more to fear and reverence the Lord, right? How much more? And this is the beginning. This is the beginning of wisdom and knowledge so we can live this life of stability. You know, I got to take a sip of this water if you don't mind. Excuse me. So let's look at wisdom and knowledge. A couple more definitions I'd like to give you. Again, I'm a simple man, simple-minded. I just like seeing it nice and clear. Okay, let's look at knowledge first. Knowledge is information, understanding, or skill that you get from experience or education. Of course, we know this, right? So bear with me here. Wisdom, the soundness of action or decision with regard to the application of experience, knowledge, and good judgment. So we understand that there, we gain knowledge. We need to know what to do with that. So wisdom tells us how to apply it properly, right? Simple, right? It makes me think of a driver's ed class. Did anyone take driver's ed in high school? I took driver's ed at the summer after 10th grade in summer school because I wanted to drive as fast as I could with no restrictions. And I remember there was three sections to the driver's ed class. One was the classroom, of course. Then there was a simulator. Did anyone have simulator? No. You know what simulate means? It's simulating driving the car. And, of course, the last class would be actually driving. So you sit down. Of course, you have a classroom, and you gain as much knowledge as you can, right? All the road signs, the rules of the road. Then you get in the simulator. I don't remember what it looked like. I just know that it was a steering wheel. And, of course, it's trying to simulate driving as best as possible. You know, and I know you could see the road, and you had to make the turns. I remember the teacher saying, John, you did real well. You have good depth perception. And I said, well, thank you very much. That's all I remember from the whole class. So I was good at it. I'm like, okay, let's see what we do when we get on the road. Right? So then we had that. So we all drive, or most of us drive. Whoever drives, you know there's not a lot of wisdom on the road. Right? So you get into a car. You get in the car class. It's been after a few weeks. And that instructor has the brake on the right side. You know, anytime something goes wrong, he's slamming on the brake. Well, my instructor, or my teacher, I guess you could call him, he was the football coach. He was the varsity football coach. He was later in the years, he had a couple years left, I think. It might have been his last year. Maybe it was because of my car class. But I had there was three of us in the car, and I don't know how many times he slammed on the brakes, and he knew me because I played football, believe it or not. I know I might not look that way. But he's like, Johnny Gray, get into the car, and I just drove around all summer. But I just remember the wisdom, understanding the wisdom, you know, applying it. I just want to show you how important that is on the roads, right? It's dangerous not to apply the knowledge that you earned in the classroom, especially out on the roads, right? I have another illustration. I know you're like, the illustration for knowledge and wisdom? Well, yes. It is. I'm a general manager for a Wendy's restaurant, okay? And when I hire someone, I have to do an orientation. And after we do the necessary paperwork, we sit down in front of the computer. And, we used to have manuals. We used to have it in the book form, and now everything's on the computer. And we go through, like, all the specifics, all the safety, food safety, washing your hands. There's a video for everything. And then it comes to the actual making of the sandwiches, running the grill, fries, and all the specifics. You know, and it shows every detail of everything. And they sit there for hours after hours, you know, and after they gain all that, they gotta retain this, because now they're going up front to the service line and they gotta apply this knowledge, and literally apply the knowledge on the sandwich. You know what I mean? So they gotta apply the mayonnaise, ketchup, pickle, onion, tomato, lettuce, right? At least I said that fast. That's just how it goes. It's fast food. You gotta say it fast. So you have a trainer. So I'm usually up front with them and I say, hey, do it this way. Do it this way. You know, you're giving them correction. Okay, I know you understand. They're telling you what's on it. I said, but yeah, if you don't pull this wrap, if you don't put the bun here, if you don't do this, if you don't do that, you're not gonna follow through. You're not gonna perform right, because there's a rush coming real soon, and it's coming at you fast, and you need to respond without thinking, right? You need to apply that wisdom, like this. So praise God. Let's move on to. So we need to get this information, the knowledge of the word, right? How much more? This isn't Wendy's or driver's ed class. How much more when we have the knowledge of the word, how to apply it, right? Turn in your Bibles to Matthew. And we're just going to go to the King James with this, Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. And it fell not, like in Mexico. For it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened to a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon their house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. This is Jesus speaking, right? The letters in my Bible are red. We know this is a gospel of Matthew. Jesus is speaking. So when it says, whoever hears these sayings of mine, the words of Christ, the words of Jesus, these are the word of God. Whoever hears these sayings, if you're going to be wise, hear these and do these. And you'll be building on a solid foundation, right? And when those storms of life comes, you don't have to go to Mexico for the storms to hit. You know, of course, we're looking at, you know, the storms of our life that come against us, right? Do the word. You can turn your Bibles to Psalm 92. Excuse me. Psalm 92. Verse 13, Psalm 92:13. So Jesus wants to hear his word. He wants us to do his word. Psalm 92:13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Right? Those that planted in the house. Here we go. We're planting just like that sequoia tree. Planted. Right? We're to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord. To hear his word, we're to plant ourselves in the house of the Lord, so we shall flourish in the courts of our God. Turn to Hebrews 10:25. I'm going to go back to the Amplified for Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as a habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching. Okay, so we're planted. Now we need not to forsake the assembly of ourselves together. If you're planted, you need to be there. If something's planted, it's not moving. right? So we need to make sure that we're faithful and we're coming, we're encouraging each other, right? So you see what I'm trying to, the picture, the case to choose a stable life I'm building here. We just want to make sure what a stable life looks like. We want to understand that wisdom and knowledge is stability. We want to understand that it starts with fearing the Lord, right? And to have that awe, that understanding. And if you're not, don't have that in you, you just keep going and just keep praying and believing and trusting him and getting into his presence, right? Next scripture is Jeremiah 3:15. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. You saw this coming, right? Planted, faithful, honor the house of the Lord. And he gives us pastors according to his heart. I mean, it would be pretty cool to get pastors, but pastors according to his heart. I mean, there shouldn't be any other kind. Which shall feed us with knowledge and understanding. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Oh, praise the Lord. And he gave some apostles. Who? Jesus, the Lord. The first thing he did, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. He gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? Why did he give us pastors? For the perfecting of the saints. We are the saints. Who wants to be perfected here, right? We need to be in the house of the God. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. I'm not perfect yet. I got to keep coming. So we just got to continue coming, right? We got to come to the house of God. God gave us pastors to feed us this knowledge and this wisdom. Praise the Lord. Now we're turning to, well, we're going to stay in Hebrews, okay? But I'm going to stay in the Amplified. We're going to Hebrews 13. I should say, I'm going to go to the Amplified. You with me?
Yes.
Are you seeing this?
Yes.
I know I'm just going slow. I'm trying to go slow. It's exciting up here. Remember your leaders. I did say Amplified, right? This is the Amplified. Remember your leaders and superiors in authority, pastors. For it was they who brought you the word of God. The word of God is brought by our pastor. Observe attentively and consider their manner of living, the outcome of their well-spent lives, and imitate their faith. See, we're to observe and attentively consider their manner of living. It doesn't say, you know, we need to be like him. We don't need our personalities like him. But how does he live? We need to imitate his faith. Their conviction that God exists and is the creator and ruler of all things, the provider and bestower of all eternal salvation through Christ, and their leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in his power, wisdom, and goodness. Praise God. We're going to go down a little further. We're going to stay on 13. We're going down to 17. Hebrews 13:17, in the Amplified. Obey your spiritual leaders and submit to them. Obey and submit, continually recognizing their authority over you. And they're constantly keeping watch over your souls and guarding your spiritual welfare as men who have to render an account of their trust. Do your part to let them do this with gladness and not with sighing and groaning. For that would not be profitable to you either. Praise God, to submit to our pastor. I don't want Pastor Mike to be like, oh, John Gray, oh my gosh, right? We don't want to be that way. It says that, right? Sighing and groaning. So praise God. So pastors, we need to submit to them. A pastor feeds us the word. A pastor teaches us how to apply the word to our lives. We know our pastor has greater knowledge and greater wisdom. He has this anointed. He's anointed. He is appointed to shepherd this work, right? To lead us into God's perfect will for our life. You know, it reminds me of a story of once when I became submitted to my pastor, and I went to Jamestown Family Church. I sat under Pastor Tim for, well, I don't know, 13, 14 years or whatever it is, was. Oh, I shouldn't be counting the last year I've been here. So I don't know, 12 or 13, it doesn't matter, of course. I was probably, had started going to the church, I was probably a year in, I don't know specific dates, maybe a year in, yeah, probably. Just for so long I was looking for another job. There's always, you know, I wasn't living a stable life. You know, I was tossed to and fro. You know, I was not planted. But there was a level of submission here, and I'll show you this as I continue. But I was always looking for a new job just to make that, you know, always wanted to have that great job, to finally have that great house and that car, and, you know, the grass has to be greener. The grass has to be greener, right? Somewhere. So I get this, I land this job. I was with a restaurant company. I was hired as an operating manager, multi-unit operating manager. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, they paid me so much more salary, and then they gave me a bonus. You know, they just threw everything out, you know, like so many perks. But the key was that I had to move. It was for a position outside of Chicago, in the suburbs of Chicago. I had to go to training for a while in Texas. I mean, they were flying me home, they were flying me here, whatever I wanted to do. I had unlimited funds, it seemed like. So it was so exciting. So we got through training. It came time to take position. I got out to Chicago, and I didn't have a place to live, so I was up in a hotel, of course. And I did that for a couple weeks, and then I came home. I'm sorry, I'm just kind of reliving it as I go here. It was time to find a place to live, right? And they flew me out on the weekend and said, okay, time to, you know, they gave me some time outside of work to find a place to live. And I tell you, it was the worst experience I ever had. They said, go to dinner, you know, go here, see a show, do whatever the area has to offer, you know, in the evening, and, you know, find yourself a job, or apartment or a house to live. And I didn't feel well. I got sick. I don't remember a circumstance that I was ever so feeling so down and depressed. And it's just, everything was going wrong. I know, I went to dinner, and I broke my tooth. I broke a tooth. I mean, just nothing was going right. I'm just like, what is going on here? You know, and then this is the time in my life, it was early on, but I just knew there was something inside. There was some stirring in me that, you know, something with ministry. And I wasn't learned at that time. And I didn't know what it was specifically at that time, you know. And so I was just, what do I do? So I came home and I called Pastor Tim, my pastor, the pastor of Family Church in Jamestown. And, you know, he met with me, and he didn't have to say much. He just had to ask me a few questions. And the answer just, you know, I don't know the specific questions, but from my answers of questioning every single thing and hearing what I had to say, I don't know, I don't know, I don't know. Where I'm getting with this is I knew I can't take this job. Here I am. I put 2.5 months of training. They gave me a $5,000 raise in training. I don't know about you, but that was pretty cool. I mean, I don't know what you all make, but that was nice, right? I mean, I had a promise of doubling for my income guaranteed, possibly tripling it. So all this stuff, all the, you know, the perks, all they were all there. And now I'm like sitting in Pastor Tim's office going, wow, I just knew that I knew. You know, to go back a little further, I knew when I started going to that church in Jamestown that I had never been to a church like that. And I was just like looking at Pastor, I'm like, he's so real. This is different. It's so real. And I didn't get it, you know, but I kept going. I went back. I'm like, so after keep going back, I'm like, he's my pastor. So I was there long enough to know. So there was a level of submission. So I got my answer, because what would have happened if I would have moved? I mean, just kind of look at your lives and look, if there wasn't a pastor that you can submit to, what can it can save you from? You know, what can change in your life with making the wrong decision? So I flew back to Chicago, and, you know, I had to work. I met with Pastor Tim, like I said, and I don't, whatever the days were, it doesn't matter. The next day I had to work. And it so happens that the individual that hired me, the big shot, you know, he had all the restaurants on the East Coast. He was like, I really liked him, and I liked his vision and everything, you know. And I'm like, I got to tell this guy, this is not right. So, I mean, he had to tour these restaurants with me. I was just sweating, you know. Seriously, he must have thought I was some, you know, had some kind of disorder. I mean, I was just soaked. I was sweating, nervous. I had never been so scared. He said, John, at the end of the day, we'll go out to dinner. I said, perfect. So I knew I was going to speak to him about that at that time. So we went out to dinner, and I just blurted it out. I couldn't wait anymore. His name was John, you know, and he was just so, such a wonderful guy. You know, he was just so, I just was surprised, because I thought he was going to say, you know, give me that money back or something. And, you know, I just explained it to him. He asked me if I could work for a couple weeks to help out, and I said, whatever you need, no problem. He said, you know, one thing I remember him saying, he goes, you know, it just seems like maybe you're called to something different. I'm like, yeah, possibly. Thank you. You know, so praise God. You know, so just a story of what it takes, you know, when you're, let's look at where we started. We're looking at a picture of a stability, right? And those sequoia trees. What a great picture of the church. Think about that the army of men, arms locked to support, to stabilize. Think about that in the church. Don't we all have a place? It says in the Word that we're all called to something. You know, pastor is the pastor, but we all have a place in the body, right? And we all supply each other. So what a great visual, or if you can envision that, right? What a great visual of stability in our church family. Praise the Lord, right? And we do that, of course, at our homes and our jobs, stability. It is just so awesome. I mean, I see that. I mean, I'm sharing stories here. There's so many. You know, I've been working at Wendy's and other restaurants for years. And, you know, being a manager, you know, I kind of mentioned it earlier, you know, about the attitude when people come to work. You know, when they're submitted to me, you know, of course, it's easy to reverence your job when you know you're getting paid. Translate that to serving God. Translate that to, you know, to being submitted to your pastor, to being planted in the church, right? But I see every manager that works for me, I promoted. And I'm not saying that, like, look at me, I'm just a great promoter. or a trainer, or whatever you want to say, but they submitted to me, you know, at that level. Of course, it's a natural level, right? But they had that attitude of what I had to bring for them. They saw what I needed done. Of course, we have systems in place and Wendy's and understanding of how to prepare things, but every general manager, that restaurant is going to take the shape of that person and his personality and how, you know, he carries himself, the attitude that I walk in with in the morning. They don't see me walking in the morning kicking things and yelling and being in a bad mood. I walk in the door and I'm like, hey, what's up? I just go and talk to everybody. You know, yeah, there is times I say hallelujah and they just say, oh, that's John. But you know what? I have a relationship with them and they know that. They see that. I'm not getting kooky with them. But you know what? Every morning I go and say hi to everybody. Why? I'm not, I love people. And you know when they can submit to somebody that has that love and just cares about, hey, what's going on with your daughter that was in, you know, her school play? I mean, just, you know, just to get to know them, Yeah, I don't leave without saying bye to each one either, you know? There's a couple times I was mad. I just walked out. They're like, what's wrong with you? And I can't lie, you know? Okay. Then I called on the phone. Hey, I'm sorry. It's better that I left and say what I wanted to say. But praise God. But back to what I was saying. The individuals that I promoted in my restaurant, they're people that, like, they picked up on John's vision, what I saw, what's right, the importance. Of course, there's, again, within the stipulations of the business and the systems in that organization. But I had a vision. You know what I mean? This is the way we're going to do it. This is the way I'm going to schedule it. This is the way. Okay. Pastor Mike has a vision for this church, of course, through the Holy Ghost, right? We have a vision. We're here to hook up. We're not here to complain about the vision. We're not here to question the vision. We're not here for that reason at all. We're here to do our part in the body. Praise God, because that is a stable life, right? Praise the Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. I hope you're all helped tonight. I hope I kept it clear enough going through the evening to show you. I'm just so thankful. Thank you for welcoming me here. You know, I haven't been here long. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for just showing us just the simple, you know, step-by-step what it takes. You just show us a life of stability and how important it is to our lives. We just thank you for the knowledge that we're fed here at church by our pastor. Thank you for that wisdom that we're taught. Thank you that we just understand how to be a doer of the word. We just thank you, Father, that we just honor the house of the Lord. We honor you. We worship you. We just thank you, Father. We just thank you, Father God, that we're rooted, we're grounded in the house of the Lord, and we flourish in the courts of our God. We just thank you so much, Father God, that all that you have for us. Thank you, Father, for your word tonight. We just thank you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, John. Grammy Tammy, can you pull up Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35? I'll tell you what, there are a whole lot of unstable people in the body of Christ. And what's amazing about that, when I say in the body of Christ, please pull that up in the King James, if you would. And a whole lot of people that are unstable in the body of Christ. And what's crazy about that statement is they're in the body of Christ. That means they are children of God. And when you're a child of God, you have access to all the blessings that God has for you, you know. But yet there's people within that family that are not walking in stability. And I want to point this out and take it from what John was saying, that it says Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then if you go to verse 36, so here Jesus doing all this good stuff. He says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. One translation says he had pity on them. It says, because they fainted and were scattered. Well, she had the Amplified up there a second ago, and those words faint and scattered, they're a little bit blind to us in the King James, but they mean dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, helpless. And it says people will live a life of scattered and faint, dejected, harassed, bewildered, distressed, and helpless, as sheep having no shepherd. And talking about being planted in the house of God, you know, and being faithful and having a pastor, there's so many people in the body of Christ that think just because they're saved or just because they love the Lord, that everything is going to work out. But I know a whole lot of people that are heaven-bound, that are born again, and their life is absolute chaos. It's absolute opposite of picture of stability. And a lot of times when you look at it, one of the main factors is, number one, they don't have a shepherd. And number two, they're not faithful to be where the word's being taught. Amen. You know, I was looking at a verse came up in my heart as I was down there. In 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, God has set the members in the body as it pleases him. And when God sets the members, he sets you with a pastor. Because Jesus said in those verses that unless you have a shepherd, and again, it's not just saying Pastor Mike Anderson or Pastor so-and-so is my shepherd. What is the sheep-shepherd relationship? It's a feeding. It's a receiving. And so many times, you remember when the prophets came in, Reverends Kevin and Annie Durant, they came in here. Remember what Annie Durant said? She She challenged people that I just dare you for 1 year to plant yourself where you're called and to be faithful. When the doors are open, be here. When you can be here, hear the word, do the word, and how it would change your life. Because until someone does that, to expect to have a life above scattered and fainting, to expect to have a life, so many people are, I want the blessings of God, I want the blessings of God. You can't get above what Jesus said you can have until you do what Jesus said you have to do, which is what? Having a shepherd, planting, being under that word of God. It's not a man. Mike Anderson has no special qualities naturally, but it's that shepherd role that is put in place. And, you know, Peter was just a natural man who made a lot of natural screw-ups, but when he was in that role and that anointing, and people submitted to that, many people were blessed and many people were helped. And so I just want to encourage everybody, you know, I might be preaching to the choir here, but maybe even along the lines when you talk about planting, of making the house of God more of a priority, that, you know, that's where the blessing is. There's nothing in the world that can give you what this place can give you. And so many people are looking for better. And it's, again, it's not just saying, I go to such and such a church. I have so-and-so as a pastor. Where did God put you? Who's your shepherd? Who speaks to you? Who do you feel like you're home with when they mention? And then it's being there, hearing the word, and doing the word. That's where it's going to come from. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we all need to be more stable. But I'll tell you, the body of Christ is a picture of instability. And it really just comes down to simple things, not doing what Jesus has said. Amen? He doesn't want us that way. So we're going to endeavor to be more stable. Praise God. The world needs us to be the stable ones, to be the ones that are the picture of strength and stability and answers and help. So, Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for what we received tonight. We thank you, Father, for the correction, for any encouragement that we received. Father, may we be doers of the word. May we make changes, Father, that we need to make changes. Lord, you're trying to lead us into all good things. And Father, there comes a time where we have to examine our lives to see, what are we doing? Are we missing it in certain areas? Are we on our own plan? Are we doing our own thing? No, we got to plant where you put us and be faithful to be there, to do the word, to hear the word. And so, Father, we thank you. As we go forward, we just say we're changed. We say many lives will be changed. Many lives will be touched. Many hearts will be touched and destinies overturned and changed. And Father, we just thank you for the outpouring in this area. Father, that's what we continue to say. We can thank you for the outpouring, for the increase that's to come in this area, in this place, as the word goes forth. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, before you run out of here, I want to remind you, I want to stress this to you, because we're looking at things, you know, I'll just kind of say it this way as a little bit of review going into next week. When we looked at last week, we saw that the Holy Ghost on the inside of the believer is God on the inside of us. That ought to change your life, right? We saw that God is what? All-knowing. We saw that God is all-seeing, that he sees around every corner. He's been to your future and back. If we can learn what the Bible calls it, a treasure within, if we can learn to cooperate with the treasure within, there's no reason you should ever miss it ever again the rest of your life. There's no reason you should ever make a wrong decision, a bad financial decision, a bad relationship decision. You ought to be so skillful. The problems that you're in right now financially, God knows how to get you out of them. The problems that you're in physically or with your mind or with your family or your business, whatever it is, God is not in heaven pacing the floor wondering what to do, right? And so we're learning, how do we draw these answers out? That's what we're going to get back into next week. So again, I encourage you, if you're visiting, love to see you again. If you're not visiting and you're here regularly, come back. We're in a series that will change your life. John, thank you for the word tonight. Praise God. Let's just stand and worship God and give him praise tonight. Father, we love you. We're going forward. You're helping us. You're helping us. You're helping us, Father, to receive from you. You're helping us to learn to make better decisions. And Father, I just pray that for light and revelation for everybody here. Father, if people are here and they say, well, I don't have a place, I'm not planted in a church, that you'd show them where they need to be, Father. Then make those adjustments, because Father, you have a better tomorrow for them. You have a better future for them. And it all starts with the word of God. And so Father, we love you tonight. We praise you. We give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. Appreciate you. You're dismissed. We'll see you next Saturday.